Welcome back to the podcast, Heirs of Horror. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm in your dreams.
What's your name?
Jeff.
This week, we watched A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes, we did.
It's the first installment in our Battle of the Slashers.
It's the winning team.
I think Ghostface is going to win, but we'll see.
Okay. It's like saying an expansion team is going to win the Super Bowl. But okay.
So, should we establish these battle rules that we have?
Okay, you better tell me because I don't know any of them.
Okay. So, we're going to be taking into account critics' ratings, our ratings, and then we're also going to be giving an overall score to the killer. So, if we like the killer, if we think he's scary, if...
Or she.
Yeah, or she. If we think that it's believable, you know, just kind of how we're feeling overall about the killer.
Okay. Do we do the ratings like at the end or?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and give our scores. And then I'm going to create an average and then we'll see at the end of the month.
So we don't get to pick a winner based on like me lobbying for one or the other?
Well, you can lobby while we do the review, and then, you know, when the scores are out, the scores are out.
I'm not very good at lobbying, but I'm going to throw this out there right now. I can guarantee you, as we go through this month, that you will not hear any Scream references in A Nightmare on Elm Street. So, check one for Freddy.
First of all, what makes you think that?
Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say... Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984. Can't reference something that hasn't happened yet.
Okay, fair enough.
The original is usually better. And I know Scream is not a remake, but it came first.
But also, I like it when Scream references other horror films. So that's kind of part of its charm.
Okay, so it may be charming, but these are horror movies. Slashers.
I know.
So we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we will. We will have to wait and see.
So I don't know how to get into this. You got to take me back to 1984 still?
Yeah. So take me back. This was released on November 16th, 1984. It was directed by Wes Craven.
Was it written by what? I think it was written and directed by. It's one of those directors. He writes a lot of his own shit. So I don't know that for a fact. We're just going to go out on a limb and say he wrote it and directed it. Facts, not facts.
Yeah, I just looked it up. He did write it. So, cool. Writer and director. So, this year the top song was When Doves Cry, and the average movie ticket was $3.36.
That sounds very expensive, to be honest, for a movie ticket.
I mean, I was like, wow, I could see a lot of movies for that price. But it was, what, 40 years ago?
Yeah, think about what things cost 40 years ago. That seems kind of high. When Doves Cry, man, you would want to go to the movies.
Wait.
Not listen to the radio, that's for sure.
Listen to this, though. This was also the year that the first Mac was released, but it wasn't called a Mac at that point. It was still Macintosh.
So the first Macintosh was released.
Yes.
Mac wasn't out yet.
I mean, they just
didn't. Apples, no blueberries.
Right. They didn't shorten the name. It was still Macintosh.
No bananas. Just you wait until the bananas come out. Things will get real crazy.
We also got Katy Perry and Avril Lavigne this year. They were both born.
I'm fine with that.
It was a big year.
It was a year.
What would we do without Macintosh now?
I don't think it was a big year. It was not a leap year.
None of us would have cell phones.
Half of us wouldn't.
I would venture to say over half.
More than half, probably.
All right. Well, should we just get right on into it?
Let's dive into it. What does it start off with? I think we're watching somebody assemble, I don't know what to call it, a claw?
Well, it's like his knife glove.
A glove with knives on it.
Yeah. Yeah, Freddy is making his knife glove. And then we get the title scene.
Well, and for some reason, the scariest thing to stab into is a bedsheet.
Well.
Isn't that what the opening scene is
like? It makes
it cuts into the bed sheet, like, I mean, Wolverine
you can,
style.
Yeah, and you can really see it. So
yeah, spooky.
Then we see Tina, and she is running through a boiler room.
Hold on. Tina is not just wearing her, like, you know, uniform for school. She's a scantily clad blonde girl running around in her little nightie in a factory type setting.
I wouldn't say it's a little nightie. It looks more like a hospital gown.
Well, for 1984, it was a very lightweight okay. nightgown.
All right. Well, okay. she's
it was
running.
Tasteful.
She's running through a boiler room, and she's being chased by Freddy. He attacks her. She wakes up, and she's screaming. Her mom's checking on her.
Yeah, her mom is like giving her those "you look crazy" eyes. Like, do you remember the '80s? Like,
yeah,
well, you barely remember the '80s. Barely, maybe.
You're
89.
You're so born young. 1 year older.
You're so young.
Earlier than I was.
Do you remember? They're just like, just putting you in your place. Like, honey, that's just a dream. And her fingernails. Remember, her fingernails were all messed up.
Yeah.
From trying
and
to get away from
also
Freddy. And
had
she's
a
like,
cut.
You gotta stop chewing your nails.
She also had a cut. Or, well, multiple slashes
in her
nightgown.
It was in the shape of a cross in her hand, too.
No, but her nightgown was slashed.
Oh, yeah, it was cut a little bit.
It was like
because
it had
of her
five
fingernails.
Finger knives.
Because of her sharp fingernails well, that she'd been nibbling on.
I think it was probably the finger knives.
Like, mom is just not buying into this.
No. Well, because who believes that you can actually get attacked in your dream?
I do.
Okay. Well, if you had kids and they got attacked in their dream, you would believe them.
This movie is the reason I don't have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next day at school, Nancy and Tina are talking about how they both had nightmares. And that night, because Tina's scared of her nightmare and her mom is out of town, they all end up going over to Tina's house.
Well, while they were at school talking about their nightmares, they didn't go into too much detail other than, you know, they both had nightmares. And it was so funny because they reasoned, well, since we both had nightmares, maybe an earthquake is coming.
Yeah.
Has anyone tied those together, I wonder? Nightmares and earthquakes?
Don't think so.
Nightmares predicting earthquakes?
I mean, people dream at night. Everyone sleeps. So it's not uncommon. I wouldn't think that people would have nightmares.
So you can't predict based on. No. It's too common. It's like saying when the sun rises, it'll rain.
I mean, then you get a rainbow.
Okay, we're getting way off topic here.
So the two girls that night are talking more about their dreams, and it turns out they dreamt of the same person.
Will you dream my dream?
Mr. Freddy Krueger, this guy with knife hands.
And the noise that the knives would make.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, wouldn't you know it, they start hearing that same screechy noise outside.
Yeah.
So what would any teenage girl do?
Well, I would go investigate.
Go outside and check it out. Yeah. It's dark out. Yeah.
But turns out it's just Tina's boyfriend, Rod. He shows up and scares him.
Rod's great.
I mean, he has the cards are against him. We'll just put it that way.
How so?
Well, we'll find out in a little while. But right now, Tina and Rod go off into her mom's room.
At this moment, I would say the cards are definitely in Rod's favor.
Okay. It's very short-lived, and then bad things happen.
He's just short-sighted. He's not looking at the long term. He's just in the now, okay?
Yeah. Well, they get it on very loudly to the point where everyone else in the house, well, Glenn and Nancy hear,
says,
and they're pissed.
Rod comments to Glenn and Nancy that, we got her mother's bed. You got the rest of the house.
Yeah.
Right? And so Nancy and Glenn starts making moves on Nancy. And Nancy goes, no. We don't have time for that. We're here for Tina. Because she had the bad dream. And the next thing you know, Glenn's sitting there just staring up the ceiling, listening to Rod.
And Tina.
Just pound away.
I mean, Tina was really the loud one. But also, Nancy, what are you here for Tina? To just, like, eavesdrop?
Support? Hydrate?
It's weird.
Go get me a glass of water?
It's very weird. I think she just didn't want to get with Glenn.
Yeah.
So, Tina, after they're done, finds out that Rod also had a nightmare.
Yeah. Because guys can have nightmares too, you know.
Yeah. But we don't really hear too much about his nightmare. And then we see Nancy. And she is asleep. And a crucifix falls off the wall and hits her in the head. But she just keeps sleeping.
So after the crucifix falls off the wall, you can see the wall like stretching like latex or something, like hands and a face trying to pop out of the wall. And then Nancy wakes up and looks up at the wall, I think because she realizes the cross fell off the wall. And the wall is like not deformed. It's looks like a normal wall.
Freddy sinks back into the wall.
So she hangs the crucifix on the wall and knocks on the wall 4 times.
Well, I think it was kind of like she was pounding the crucifix in, maybe? I don't know.
No,
it was
she
weird.
Was tapping next to it, like, you know, you tap 3 times kind of thing.
Maybe she has OCD. We don't know.
Yeah, 4 times. Yeah. It's a weird number.
So then we see Tina, and she's walking outside. She's in her nightgown, and she's barefoot, just walking around. And she hears someone calling her name.
Tina.
And then you see Freddy with Stretch Armstrong arms.
Oh, that's great. Special effects. You got to love it. Yeah.
And he's walking towards her down this alley.
Do you know how long it took somebody to knit that sweater? Yeah. A long time.
Yeah, because they didn't have factories back then.
Well, not to make that sweater. The arms on it are 1 mile long.
That's true. So she's screaming.
Yeah, she says, "Oh, God." And then Freddy goes, "This is God."
Yeah.
So he's just screwing with her.
Well, and she's screaming a lot. Freddy starts to attack her, but we don't actually see what happens. But we do see Rod wake up because of the screaming. And then he watches her chest get slashed.
So she runs out of the alleyway away from Freddy.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to get in the house. And other things are happening, by the way.
Yeah.
He says, "Hey, Tina, watch this." So she, what do you do when the scary guy in your dream says, "Hey, Tina"? You turn around and just look at what he's doing. You don't keep running away, right? You just stop and look. Because it's in your dream.
Yeah.
He cuts his fingers off and they squirt green goo out. I mean, it's kind of funny. And then he's on top of her near the trash cans and she tries to push him away and she peels his face off and like melts off. It's some interesting special effects for the 80s.
Yeah.
And then, we get to where Rod's awake in bed watching her tussle around under the sheet.
I mean, she starts getting slashed and then she's getting dragged up the wall and across the ceiling.
And she's floating.
Yeah, it's clearly, I mean, something is pulling her.
It's a poltergeist. It's a poltergeist.
Yeah, so she's screaming a lot. Nancy and Glenn break down the door and they burst into the room and they find Tina dead and Rod is gone, but the window's open, so.
Glenn's reaction to all the blood could have been a little better, honestly, for me. I didn't like his reaction.
Yeah, I mean, some of the acting's not great.
Nancy's is spot on.
Well, it does look like Rod is probably...
I mean, if there's only two in the room, yeah, it looks like Rod did it.
He's looking very guilty.
It's very interesting, though, when they're on the other side of the door and he's like, "I'm gonna get you." Like, who is he talking to? Do you give him any, you know, leeway? Well, was there a third person in the room?
I mean, maybe. It did kind of sound like he thought that someone was killing her. So
he was talking to a third person.
Yeah.
Like you could hear that through the door.
So maybe someone broke in and then broke back out.
Maybe. But we don't know her at this point. Or we know. They don't know.
We know someone did break in through her dreams.
Yeah.
So next we're at the police station. And Nancy's dad is actually the detective in charge, and he's questioning her. And Nancy explains that she had a dream about this, that Tina had a dream about this, and that's the exact reason why they were over there in the first place.
Yeah. Well, just before that, he was questioning her mother why she'd be out with these three other kids.
Yeah, so she explains.
And she says...
she's just being a good friend.
Oh, and they say something about how Rod and Tina were having an argument. And she's like, "It's not that big of a deal." And her mother, and I don't know what accent she's got. Like, you probably can identify it. Says something to the effect of, oh, you don't think murder is serious?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, mom. Like, just about to lose her mind.
Well, yeah.
Trying to talk to her
like,
parents.
Obviously, I think murder is a big deal, but the fight wasn't. Well, and they also are making Rod out to be this, like, deviant. He's in and out of jail, on and off drugs. Like,
oh, yeah,
just,
he's a delinquent. Yeah. He's on the pot, probably. They don't know.
Yeah.
He wears a leather jacket.
Right. So he's bad.
I feel
bad
like
news.
They're portraying this very hard disconnect between adults and their teenage kids.
Well,
and maybe that's true for all teenagers and their parents.
I think.
But it's a very hard disconnect in this movie.
I think it is. There is always that disconnect. But like, I think that it was probably more so in this era.
Or at least in this movie.
Yeah. And also in other films in this era. Other movies also portrayed the same sort of thing. So.
It is common for this
era.
The
next morning, Nancy decides to go to class. And this is the problem that I have with this scene. She comes downstairs, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like, just ready to go to school. She literally was asleep. Like, it was in the middle of the night when her friend got sliced and diced. Then they go to the police station, sit there for God knows how long, getting questioned. And then they go home. It's already daylight by the time they get home. Like, let's be honest. She didn't go upstairs to sleep. She just got ready and came downstairs to go to school.
Well, if you use the Halloween timeline.
Yeah.
They get out of, it's November. They get out of school. It's also daylight saving. So they get to the house and it's maybe 5:30. It's dark, 5:30 p.m.
Yeah.
And they can take a lot of energy out of yourself hanging out with your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, pretty quickly. And
well,
they,
Nancy didn't.
We don't know.
She just went to bed.
We don't know.
Okay.
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 And so, you know, let's say a couple hours goes by. We'll give them credit, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Probably only an hour, maybe. But, you know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. So they could be at the police station by 8 p.m., maybe 9 p.m. And then, you know, get home, get some sleep.
All right.
But we know Nancy didn't get any sleep.
Well, no, she doesn't want to sleep.
Regardless of the timeline, the bright-eyed and bushy-tailed doesn't add up, no matter which way you look at it, because she didn't get any sleep.
Yeah, she doesn't want to sleep. Now that she knows that you can have nightmares and get killed in them, for real.
So you noticed all that. Here's what I noticed.
Okay.
Who comes downstairs and wants to go to school? Also, the 80s, that was a time where you could go to school to avoid murderers.
Yeah. Also,
very odd. I gotta go to school.
Did you notice mom boozing first thing in the morning?
Oh, yeah. Hitting the gin bottle. I think that's normal. That's just acceptable.
I mean, I don't think it necessarily
You can drink
was.
Gin, Chelsea, on days that end in Y. On mornings of days that end in Y.
Yeah. She boozes constantly, though. So, on Nancy's way to school, Rod jumps out of the bushes and then pulls her into the bushes. And
assaults her, essentially.
Basically. And he's talking to her. He's like, I need your help. I didn't do it. And her dad shows up with a whole team to
arrest
him.
And arrest Rod.
Yeah.
And he's cool. He's cool.
But it's funny because he takes off running down the street on pavement. Barefoot.
Chelsea, that's fine. I know you're freaking out about
that. It bothers me so much.
But back in the 80s, the streets were clean.
It doesn't... No, I mean, that hurts.
It
what
was
if you,
smooth, brand new pavement. There was no broken glass.
You can't tell me you've never drug a toe while running?
No.
Ow. That would hurt with no shoes on
that
the pavement.
Like, that sounds like an issue you have.
I don't think it's just me.
I'm not nicknamed drag a toe, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't drag my toes when I run.
Well, I'm just saying, sometimes it happens. And then also, like, little pebbles and stuff. You're just running down the pavement barefoot.
The streets are clean, man.
Not that clean.
Super clean, bro.
All right.
Also, when Rod gets arrested, you'd think Nancy would be happy a criminal's off the street. No. She's mad at her dad for using her as bait.
Well, yeah, because I think that she kind of knows that Rod didn't do it. I think she believes him.
And then she asks her dad, No, or she accuses her. I don't think she believes him fully, but I think there's some doubt in there.
Yeah, she's questioning what happened.
I love her dad's response, too, when she says, "Dad, you used me." He's like, "What are you doing going to school today anyways?" That makes sense.
Good point.
Good question. Why are you letting her go to school?
Yeah, it's very weird.
Like, put your foot down.
So while at school, Nancy falls asleep during class, and she has a dream that Tina's dead bloody body is being dragged around the school. So she...
No, it's walking, not being drugged.
Well...
I mean, it leaves a blood trail.
At first, it's walking, but then it starts being drugged. It's like, it's in like a clear plastic bag.
Yeah, the body bags were clear back then.
Being dragged around. So she starts following this blood trail, and it goes down into the boiler room.
She runs into the hall pass person.
Yeah. And it's basically Freddy Krueger.
Well, it's a girl saying, "You don't have your hall pass," but she's wearing a red and green sweater, like identical to Freddy's sweater. And then as she leaves, she waves the little knife glove and says hi or whatever in Freddy's voice.
Yeah.
So I think she realizes at this point, she doesn't say it, but I think Nancy realizes she's in a dream.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So she goes down into the boiler room and Freddy's chasing her around and she ends up burning her arm. And she wakes up and she's screaming in class. The whole class is staring at her. I feel bad for her.
So she's down in the boiler room and Freddy cuts himself open and these maggots come out and it's pretty creepy. And she's telling herself that it's only a dream. It's only a dream. She's not waking up. So she does burn her arm to wake herself up out of the dream. Freddy's also very perverted. Like, he does a lot of things with his face and his mouth and his hands and stuff that are kind of gross.
Yeah. Just
coming across as gross.
Freddy is kind of perverted. I agree. I get that same vibe. Well, and also he's like a comedian, you know? He's got all the jokes.
Yeah, he's full of one-liners.
Yeah, so.
Couple things in this scene. Did you notice that the burn on her arm did not match where she touched the pipe?
Yeah.
Like, it's on the wrong side of her arm or something.
It's like the underneath of her forearm on the...
Yeah, and it's like tucked inside by her elbow, the inside of her
elbow.
Yeah,
and it's like on the top.
But that's not even
when she
possible.
Wakes up.
It's very difficult to do. Also, how can you stand watching this movie? I know you don't like the scratching noises. Like in real life.
Well, it's a different tone.
Man, this one bothers me. Like the knives dragging across metal and stuff.
It's not the right tone.
Oh, this frequency bothers me for sure.
So after she wakes up screaming, she goes home. And later that night, she goes to visit Rod. And he tells her about what happened last night. And she starts to think it's the guy from her nightmare because Rod also had the same dream about Freddy.
Very interesting how all three people can have the same dream.
Yeah. And as she's like starting to freak out and back away from Rod, he was like, "Do you still think it's me?" And she was like, "No, I don't." And then just runs out. So she really doesn't believe that it's him.
So when you realize that Rod's having the same dreams as you, what is the best option you have? Do you sort it out? Do you try to talk to him about it? No. You take a bath.
You take a bath and relax and fall asleep.
Try to fall asleep. And your mom tells you don't fall asleep, so you fall asleep.
Yeah. And then you see, as she's starting to fall asleep in the tub, you see Freddy reaching his hand out of the water in between her legs.
Yeah, like he's gonna...
Very perverted.
Well, think about the special effects back then. It's not like they could have him... Where else would they have had the knives?
That's true.
It's the camera angle. It's from like the drain end.
Yeah, I get
it. Where her feet are. I mean, there's nowhere else in the water to physically put somebody with a hand.
Yeah. But it's just funny to go along
Nancy
with.
Doesn't see the knives. She's sleeping.
She's asleep.
Yeah.
And then her mom knocks on the door, waking her up. So...
The hand goes away.
But then she instantly dozes back off.
Right. Because she was just thinking about what her mom prepared for her. Her mom prepared a warm glass of milk for her.
No.
Is that a thing?
Her mom asked.
No, her mom said, "I warmed some milk for you."
Oh, I thought she asked if she wanted warm milk. But no, I don't know. But also, isn't warm milk supposed to relax you and help you fall asleep? And yeah. she's telling her not to fall asleep in the tub.
But I've warmed some milk for you. That's why she didn't bring her the milk.
Okay. I guess.
She's like, you got to get out yeah. to come get it.
Yeah.
So mom's caring a little bit. I mean, she may be a drunk, but she's functioning. And
well, she cares about her daughter. Warm you some milk up. It just, I think it's very much in the wrong place. Like, she doesn't have the right follow through. So she does end up dozing back off, and Freddy pulls her under, and we can't really see what's going on, but she's really struggling to get out of the water. Luckily, her mom's knocking on the door. She's able to get out of the tub, and then she opens the door, and her mom's like, are you okay? And she just acts like nothing happened.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah.
Why would you not tell her, like, the tub just became like 30 feet deep and I had to swim out of it?
Well, and also though, I think her mom would just find her to be crazy. Her mom's True. Not going to believe it.
That would be hard to believe.
Because she does, throughout the movie, try to ask her parents for help and no one is willing to help her. I don't even think Glenn fully believes her, you know?
No, Glenn does not believe her at all.
So she doesn't really have anyone.
Does Glenn ever have the dream? I don't think he does.
I think he does because I think that they mention it at some point that he has had a dream or something. I don't know. Well, we do know that he ends up having the dream because he dies. So I don't know if he has at this point, but he does at some point.
So after she gets out of the tub and talks to her mom, she realizes she cannot fall asleep. So I don't know why she went from talking to Rod, wanting to try to fall asleep, to now I cannot fall asleep.
Wanting to fall asleep in the tub.
And so she finds some pills, some
stay awake pills.
Yeah, they're fast acting too.
Yeah. And so she goes into her room and she's trying to stay awake.
So Glenn walks in. Glenn crawls in through the window. And he notices the burn on her arm. And he's like, oh, God, you know, where'd you get the burn on your arm? She's like, English class, right? And he's like, mm-hmm. huh? She's like, English class, like all smart, smirky. And then she looks in the mirror and she's like, oh, God, I look like I'm 20 years old. Yeah. And I'm just sitting here going, uh-huh, okay.
I know, she's basically ancient.
Jeez, like that's my favorite quote.
That's a good one. I mean, the movie does have some comedy in it.
And then she asks, yes, it does. It's got a lot of one-liners.
Yeah.
And then she asks Glenn to turn off the light, and he gets a little excited. And she's like, it's not what you think, Glenn.
Yeah.
And so she had made a deal with him. Hey, if I start looking like I'm having a bad dream, wake me up.
Yeah. She tells him it's very important that he stay awake and watch her while she's asleep. And if he sees her struggling, he's supposed to wake her up.
So she falls asleep.
That was her first mistake, trusting Glenn. So she falls asleep, and in her dream, she sees Rod in jail with Freddy standing over him. And she also sees dead Tina. And then, you know, it flashes over. Freddy's chasing her. She keeps yelling for Glenn. And Glenn is now clearly asleep, so he's not helpful at all. So she starts saying that this is a dream, it isn't real, thinking that that might work, but it doesn't. And then finally, her alarm goes off, waking her up, and she is pissed.
Yeah, she's just pissed.
Which she should be. He had one job. One job. He didn't do it. So then her mom obviously had heard her screaming in her sleep, which Glenn is in the same room as her, and he doesn't wake up. But her drunk mom from down the hall hears her screaming. So she comes in to check on her. She makes Glenn climb out the window and wait for her. And then once she's settled her mom back down, her and Glenn go off to the police station because now she's worried about what she saw in her dream. Yeah, she's like worried about Rod. Kind of
premonition.
Yeah. So she gets to the police station. Her dad's there. He's being an asshole. He doesn't believe her. And
this is where we find out Rod is hung.
Yeah. She's finally.
Like, no, I mean, like, he's dead.
I see your pun.
And the movie makes it seem like he's dying as they're trying to save him.
Well, yeah.
But when they actually get down to his cell, he looks like he's been cold for a while.
Yeah. She was able to convince her dad to go check, so he does, and Rod's just hanging there, but it does look like he's being hung.
Like when pulled up the wall as when they bust in.
Walk in. But then it's like he's...
And if that was the case, he would still be alive.
Been gone for a while.
So that's why I think he's been gone a while.
Yeah.
Because if he was just drug up.
So maybe it was like while she was having the dream, but then we just got to see it happen.
The back and forth just didn't line up with that.
Yeah.
Cut to like the very next day, there's a funeral.
Yeah.
Like it was a pretty quick turnaround.
And is this for Rod? Because Tina didn't get to have a funeral.
I feel like it is for Rod because it...
I thought
There's talk from a pastor or something that's talking about, quoting about living by the sword and dying by the sword and that kind of thing. And makes me think of Rod. I don't know why.
Well, it's funny because while they're at this funeral, her dad's talking to her mom and he's like, we better keep her at home for a few days until she's over this. Because she's just going to get over her friends dying in a couple of days?
A few days, Chelsea.
Okay.
Should be enough. 2-3 days.
Yeah. And then her mom's like, I'll do better than that. I'm going to get her help.
I'm going to take her to the psych ward.
Good job, mom. Like, again, her intentions were in the right place. She doesn't have the best follow through. She doesn't have the best course of action. But at least she wants to get her help.
See, and initially, the first time I watched this movie, I thought mom was thinking, I can't handle this. I need to get rid of this problem.
Well.
But I know what you're saying. I agree with you. She is a good mom at heart.
Yeah. She. You know,
because of the things she did, she's a good mom.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say she's a good mom.
I didn't say she was a great mom, but she's trying.
She's got good intentions.
Yeah, she's trying.
So.
At some point.
She takes.
I was going to say, I can't remember. I thought it was at the funeral, but at some point she describes Freddy to her mom or her parents, both. Do you remember that? It was before the sleep study.
I don't remember her describing him.
Hmm.
I just remember at the sleep study, it seems like her mom figures out who she's talking about.
Who she's dreaming about,
Yes.
Maybe it was at the sleep study then.
Yeah, I think so. Her mom takes her to the sleep clinic and they strap her up. She doesn't want to fall asleep, but they convince her that she just needs to go to sleep. So she falls asleep and her mom and the doctor are in the observation room and her
watching
mom's just chain smoking.
Yeah, her mom's smoking away watching her sleep.
Another movie from the 80s with people smoking in a hospital,
you know, smoking
or doctor's office.
Wasn't that good into the 90s? Well into the 90s.
Yeah, because they did it in Exorcist 3 and that was in the 90s.
Why are you going to talk about that movie?
Sorry. I know it's your fave.
Huh. So anyways, she gets into this deep sleep.
Yeah.
And then starts having a nightmare.
Freaking out. And so she starts like, you know, doing her thing where she's flailing around the bed and the mom and the doctor run into the room and they wake her up and she's got now a gray stripe of hair. She's aged quickly.
Her arm is also cut.
Yeah, she has scratches. She does look like she's at least 20 now though.
22.
Yeah, she's aging by the minute.
And she's got a new hat.
Yeah, she pulls this hat out and her mom sees the hat and looks like she knows exactly whose hat that is.
I know exactly who wore this hat.
Yeah.
Where did you get it?
Because only one person.
Because you've been watching her sleep the whole time. She went out and got a hat. Come on.
Right. Well, and also only one person in the world has ever owned a hat that looks like that.
Only one with the name Freddy Krueger inside the band.
Well, yeah, we do see that. So next day, Nancy interrogates her mom about it, but her mom just keeps acting like she doesn't know what's going on or whose hat this is. And then Nancy calls her mom out for being an alcoholic, so then her mom slaps her, but then she feels bad, so she takes her down into the basement and explains about who Freddy is,
the child murderer.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna ask you a question. It may be controversial, but in this version we watched, She refers to him as a child murderer.
Yeah.
Now, is there another version?
Well, I...
My memory thought he was like a child molester.
I thought so too. And I'm pretty sure the remake, he is a child molester.
In the remake?
Yeah. But okay. I also thought that before the remake was out, that we all assumed he was. But maybe this is another Mandela effect. I don't know.
I don't know. It bothered me. I mean, either way, it's not good, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, killing kids, you could argue, is maybe worse. Maybe not. I don't know.
Depends on the person. Probably not. Depending, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to debate it. I was just wondering if you'd notice that or...
Yeah.
It just seemed off.
I know. And maybe it comes into play in later installments. We find out more about Freddy's past.
Let's put a pin in it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll come back to it. But for sure, the remake, I'm like 99% sure.
So her mom was explaining that Freddy was a child murderer, and then her and a group of other parents ended up killing him.
Yeah, so he's not able to come for her because he's dead.
And more importantly, too, yeah, they killed him in the boiler room where he used to take the kids.
Yeah. So then right after that, Nancy decides to start reading a book about booby traps. And Glenn is kind of questioning her, like, what the fuck are you reading? And she just says it nonchalantly.
Yeah. And she's got a plan. And she needs Glenn's help.
Yeah, which he was so helpful the last time. I'm glad that she called on him.
She ain't got nobody else.
That's true. Her mom and her dad don't help at all.
And her other friends are dead.
That's
She's running out of options. And it's all you got is Glenn. Well, you call Glenn.
And it's not like any of the other kids at school are going to want to be her friend now because
no,
she's got a bunch of dead people following
Everyone
her around.
Everyone you talk to dies? Pass.
Yeah, no thanks.
So... Nancy shares her plan with Glenn, and her plan is to hold on to Freddy and wake up, and then when she comes out of her dream, she's going to pull him out just like she did the hat.
Yeah, now she's realized she
can
pull things out.
And she wants Glenn to cold cock him. She's like, when you come out of my dream, you whack the fucker.
Yeah.
And that's her plan.
And he's like, well, how am I supposed to do that? And she's like, well, you're a jock. You must have a baseball bat.
Figure it out, man. I'm the one pulling him out of a dream, out of nothingness.
Right. Like, you can't just hit him. Come on. Get a frying pan.
I'm taking the genie out of the bottle here. You get the bat. Figure it out, man.
Yeah. And also, did you notice now, all of a sudden, her whole house is barred?
Oh, no. That was barred, yeah, when she was talking to her mom, because her dad and mom got them all barred up.
Yeah. Cool.
Because that's going to protect her.
Yeah. Trap her in with the killer. Awesome. Good job.
Well, they don't know. They just don't know.
I know. Her parents are idiots.
Her final words to Glenn that day during daylight hours was, whatever you do,
don't fall asleep.
Don't fall asleep. Yeah.
But what does he do?
We know he's going to fall asleep. Okay. Yeah. That's what makes a movie.
Yeah. So we do cut over to him. He's asleep with his headphones on.
A couple different times.
And the TV on. So his mom comes in. She's like, how the hell can you sleep? She's like, actually, like, how the hell can you watch TV while listening to music? And he's like, I'm just looking at the TV. I'm not listening to it. Then he falls asleep again. So back at Nancy's house, she's pretending to be asleep. Her mom comes in and she takes her coffee pot and coffee cup out.
Coffee pots. Plural.
No.
Yes. She has like two pots of coffee that are empty and like three coffee mugs.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so then she takes all of those away. And then as soon as her mom leaves, she grabs a spare coffee pot that she has under her bed.
Not
brewing.
Just the pot, the whole maker, the coffee maker.
It's plugged in and brewing. So she's in it for business.
What household has three coffee makers?
Well, and also, I just want to know, if she's that jacked up on caffeine, how is she expecting to just fall asleep instantly when she wants to?
For fear of going down a rabbit hole, I'm just going to say, I can do that.
I'm
Seen it happen.
Honestly, yeah. It's, you're like a stone throw away from being narcoleptic.
I'm not laughing at that.
Sorry. You can fall asleep anytime, anywhere. Doesn't matter.
That's true. So the coffee maker comes out. And then she calls Glenn?
Yeah.
Because it's almost midnight.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's 84, so they don't have cell phones.
Right. So she doesn't even have his own line.
She calls the house phone near midnight.
And his dad answers.
Her mom answers.
Well, her mom. His mom. And then his dad takes over the phone call. And he's a huge asshole.
Glenn's in bed. He'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah. And then
I like it.
I don't.
Like, why? Nah, just be firm. You just got to be firm with these kids.
That's what he says. And then he hangs up on her and takes the phone off the hook. But here's the thing.
Because if you called my house at midnight to talk to my son, I'd be taking the phone off the hook.
I would be like, what's wrong? Because obviously something is wrong if you're calling
their neighbors. They watch the bars go on the windows. Clearly, they're trying to cage her in.
Yeah, well, he is talking shit about her, too.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't like that girl across the street. She seems like bad news.
Yeah, he formed an opinion about her before the phone rings.
So. Yeah. Well, after she gets hung up on, she gets a call from Freddie. And she freaks out, so she pulls the phone out of the wall, and then, so now obviously it's not plugged in, no longer can work, right? And then it starts ringing again, and it's Freddy.
That's creepy. And Freddy goes, I'm your boyfriend now. And then his tongue comes out of the friggin'
phone. The receiver, like, through the phone, tongue out, licks her.
Again, him and his tongue thing.
Well, it's just like in the movie Leprechaun.
That's more scary than the freaking knives on the glove hand thing. Yeah. The tongue out everywhere all the time.
Yeah. Meanwhile, over at Glenn's house, his bed is eating him. And then vomits blood all
this scene,
over
this scene
the entire room.
And the mom scene. This scene is what gave me nightmares as a kid.
Yeah.
Because I remember him getting pulled into his mattress. Yeah. So I have a very firm mattress from a young age.
Yeah.
We don't need no soft mattress that feel like it's going to try to eat you.
It's probably why your back always hurts.
Probably. But he gets pulled in his bed. He has no chance.
No.
Also,
and, I mean, the
room, TV, the record player, and everything else gets pulled into that mattress too.
Yeah. And then everything comes back out. Well, it's all just blood.
I would describe it as Old Faithful in Yellowstone. I'd call it blood faithful.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the spout of blood.
I mean, it's like, where did all this blood come from? But you know what? I have to say, the dad, when he goes and finds that dead body, not the dead body, because there's no body, it's all just blood, serves him right. Serves him right for being a dick.
That is pretty harsh, Chelsea.
You know what?
Pretty harsh.
He was rude. So,
you've been rude before. I'm not a bucket of blood.
And I'm not your dad. So, an ambulance and police show up, and then you hear someone say, you're going to need a mop.
And a bucket.
I think you're going to need to burn the whole fucking house down and start fresh. Like, also, are you kidding me?
A bucket. Well, they're catching him in a bucket on the first floor.
Yes, there's blood dripping through the floor. Like,
Ceiling floor.
Well, yeah.
Floor ceiling.
You are going to have to burn the whole house down. Like, just knock it down, start fresh.
Because if you don't, you're having ghosts for sure.
Well, and not just that. Like, there's too much mess to clean up. The wood is rotting.
No.
Yeah.
It's honestly not that bad, especially once it dries. Okay. I'd live in that house. Oh, it'd be fine.
I'm sure you would.
It's a million dollar home these days.
Just paint over it. It's fine. No biggie.
No. You cut the sheetrock out and the lath and plaster, whatever it is. You replace. It's fine.
All right. Well, meanwhile, Nancy's watching all of this happen across the street. And so she calls her dad and asks for help. She says, I'm going to go get the guy. You need to come over in exactly 20 minutes. And he says, yeah, sweetie, go to bed. Get some sleep. I'll be there. He's not going to be there. Like, you know he's not going to be there. The way that he's talking, he's not going to show up for her.
Well, he's right across the street, so he might show up. Although he does not believe anything she said this entire movie.
He's not going to show up like how she wants him to.
Exactly, in 20 minutes.
She ends up having to get his attention. But he does actually tell a deputy to stand out in front of her house and watch for anything weird just in case. So Nancy goes to make a bunch of booby traps. She's setting them up around the house, you know, what she's learned from her book.
Yeah, now Glenn's dead. She ain't got nothing but the traps to rely on.
Yeah, so then she goes and puts her mom to bed.
Tucks mommy in.
Yeah. And then she goes to bed. She falls asleep, and then you see her running all around in her dream, and she's trying to get Freddy.
She said a prayer, too, before she went to bed this time.
Yeah. Well, she knows this is the last battle. So she's finally able to grab him and then pull her out of the dream right as her alarm's going off. So she takes him into the basement and lights him on fire. And finally, she gets her dad's attention across the street.
Well, before she gets to the basement, you got to talk about all the traps she set.
Okay.
She'd set up a sledgehammer to swing down when he opened the door. There was a light bulb that exploded. Then lights him on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's down in the basement, lit on fire. She thinks, all right, he's dead. Like, I got him. So she gets her dad's attention across the street. And they all come in, and what do you know? You see fire tracks going upstairs. Yeah,
there's parts of the carpet burning that look like footprints.
Yeah.
They're on fire. And they go upstairs.
And they get upstairs just in time to see her mom's corpse sinking into her bed and disappear.
Yeah, it kind of waves goodbye, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of raises one hand like, goodbye.
But then, like, how did her mom rapidly decompose like that?
You know, it's a dream.
Yeah.
Or isn't it?
I don't know. This ending always gets me. I don't really know what to think, especially because there's sequels. Well,
and Nancy's got Freddy figured out.
Yeah.
She's like, I know how you work. You're nothing now. You're shit. I want my mom back.
Yeah. So after her mom ages rapidly and sinks into the bed, her dad goes downstairs and Nancy's just kind of standing there and Freddy pops out of the bed. So then Nancy walks away or just walks towards the door and she says it's just a dream and she wants her mother and her friends back. And she goes to grab the door and then all of a sudden Freddy just kind of disappears. So we think that this must mean that she won.
He's lost power over her.
Yeah.
Also, her dad sees this corpse of a mom and just goes downstairs like, right. What did he think? What was he thinking?
Like, what's the end game here, buddy?
Like, just leave your daughter here. Yeah. Sort it out.
She was
herself.
Like, I need a minute. And he was like, you know, that's fine. Take a
couple.
Well,
there's nothing I can do up here. So I'm going to go downstairs. Like,
Have a few minutes.
So Freddy disappeared.
Yeah. And so then she ends up opening the door. And as she walks through the bedroom door, all of a sudden she's outside and her mom's there.
It's like a dream.
Yeah. And her mom's talking about how she just doesn't feel the need to drink anymore. So she's going to quit.
Oh, definitely a dream.
Yeah, seriously. Her friends pull up in this convertible and the top's down. So Nancy goes, she gets in. And as soon as she sits down in the car, the top closes and it's striped like Freddy's shirt.
Red and green striped. It looks terrible on that car. Whoever put that on that car should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, it's Freddy.
Dang it, Freddy.
I think he did it.
Freddy, you have no taste in cars.
He likes his shirt. He likes his fashion.
Yeah, why the red and green?
I don't know. But you can tell that the kids don't think that this is right. They all start panicking. They're trying to get away, or like they're trying to get out, and the car just drives away. And the mom's
on its own. Well, she's just smiling.
The mom's just like standing there smiling and waving, and the kids are like freaking out trying to get out of the car. And she's just like, oh, have a great day at school.
And this isn't my favorite line. We already discussed my favorite line in the movie. This is my favorite scene where she literally gets ripped through the small window in the door. Like, super fast. Like, it's clearly a mannequin of some sort. But the window is not that large.
Yeah.
And she literally just gets pulled through like something getting picked up in a vacuum. Like, super quick.
It's one of my favorite kill scenes because it, I mean, it's so cheesy. Like, first of all, she wouldn't fit through there. But, I mean, they make it work.
Yeah. And then we get that 1, 2, 3, 4 song again. The end.
Yeah.
So the ending, not so hot. But overall, the movie's pretty good.
Yeah. I do like this one. I think Freddy's entertaining. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's a comedy horror for sure.
Yeah. So I will say there's a couple takeaways. I think the first moral of the story is don't be an asshole and hang up on people and put the phone, take the phone off the hook, because if you do, your kid's going to die.
Your kid will liquefy.
Yeah. And also, don't trust anyone else for help. You just have to take matters into your own hands.
I'm
going to
take it a step further and say this movie, and it's probably inadvertently, is telling girls not to trust men.
Yeah.
They're unreliable. Every single one of them was unreliable.
Don't trust Glenn, the neighbor boy. Don't trust your dad. Yeah, I mean,
it's... Don't trust all the men.
Yeah, and she already knew not to trust her mom, so, you know. Well, just... Yeah, just don't trust men. And also, if you're an asshole, your kid might die, so don't be an asshole.
Don't stay awake for a week straight.
That also may be playing into this. Because she might just be hallucinating.
So I wonder at what point she actually woke up last. Because I feel like the whole thing was a dream. And she kept dreaming she was waking up or staying awake. Well, and she was asleep the whole time.
I mean, really what it could be is that, you know, when you stay awake for an extended amount of time, you start to hallucinate. This all could just be one big hallucination. There's no real Freddy. She just thinks that he's real.
She is
all
Freddy.
Of her friends are alive.
Freddy?
All of everyone's alive.
We remember how Laurie in Halloween is the actual killer.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
I wonder if
I
she's
see
Freddy.
Where you're going. I don't think so.
She could be.
I don't think so, but I see where you're going with it, and I think that
people are pausing right now to search: is Laurie the actual killer in the Halloween? And I love it because she is,
according to Jeff.
So.
And only Jeff.
So, we overall have a few key takeaways here. We're not doing our rating system, right?
No, we are.
Oh, we're going to do it. Let's rate it then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the overall
originality.
Score.
I'm going to give a storyline a 1.
Oh, okay. Are you going to just like heavy load this so A Nightmare on Elm Street wins?
No.
Okay.
No, I think, to my knowledge, the being attacked in your dreams is pretty unique.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I actually will give it a 1-2. I like the storyline. I think Freddy's funny. I think that I think that there's just a lot of good aspects of this movie.
You can watch a movie these days and come out of a movie theater with no one-liners.
Yeah.
That you can share with your friends. You go back to
this one 84. Has a million.
Pick one. Everybody knows him.
I mean, not all movies from 1984, but Freddy in
this
particular.
Movie. I'm talking about this movie. Come on.
Yeah, Freddy's known for his one-liners. Mm-hmm. So.
What about the ending?
You know, I'm going to give it a 0.5. I've never been a fan of the ending. I don't know what to believe. Like, was it a dream? Was this, like, what's happening here? Because there are sequels. Nancy comes back. Like, I just don't get it. So it's getting a 0.5. I feel like it's
I'm on the same level
flawed.
Here. I'm on the same level. I agree with you. 0.5. I would score it higher, but there's some things holding it back.
Yeah.
I do. I give it a 0.5 for the opposite reason. You didn't give it a point because I like that they don't spell it out. Was it all a dream? Was it not a dream? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, leaving it kind of open-ended for people to discuss, I think, is part of the appeal to this ending. I don't have any tips on how to make it better, but I feel like it could have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
So, sorry that's not very descriptive, but 0.5.
It's all right.
Jump scares. not jumpy.
No, I'm going to have to give it a zero for both jump and lingering. I don't it to be scary.
Yeah, don't give me a zero for lingering.
That's fine.
This totally could happen. Okay. I feel like Freddy Krueger is alive and well in some people's dreams today.
Okay.
Just because you, Chelsea, don't dream about him doesn't mean he doesn't exist. Can you prove to me that there aren't killers in dreams? People die in their sleep all the time.
It doesn't mean that I find it scary after the film is turned off.
You can't disprove it, though. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying that you can't. I don't think
we know enough about humans and dreams.
Do you find it scary?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your rating?
On the scary? A one.
A one for lingering?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the second I wake up out of a dream with a cut on my wrist, I'm going to lose my shit. There's no way to combat
that. Have you done that?
Like, you got vampires running around the streets. Yeah, you get silver bullets and wooden stakes.
Have you woke up with a cut?
Not yet. That's what I'm telling you. Whoa.
Okay.
I'm just telling you that if one day that happens, I have no defense. There's no way to stop him.
Okay.
As far as I know, unless somebody made a movie, Freddy versus something, explains how to stop Freddy.
If you really find this movie to be that scary, that's up to you. It's your personal score.
I'm just saying, I feel like Freddy is not alone in the dream world either.
Yeah.
The dream world is probably the Wild West. You got to be careful when you sleep. This is why a lot of people lack sleep.
Because they have nightmares that come back and kill them in real life.
When you have lucid dreams, this is when you could die. So you get 5 hours of sleep a night. It's just a couple heavy REMs and boom, you're up. No reason to mess with that man.
All right. Well, overall, I gave it a 1.5 and you gave it a 2.5.
I thought I gave it a 2.5.
Yeah. Our average score is 2.
Gave it a 2. Good job.
So the next part is the critic score. So IMDb gave it a 7.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics gave it a 95%.
That's pretty high for Rotten Tomatoes. Wow.
Yeah. And then the Rotten Tomatoes audience gave it an 84%. I was very surprised. That's extremely high scores.
That's like creepy high. That's almost too high for a horror movie. Horror movies aren't supposed to be that high.
Yeah. And like, honestly, overall, I do really like this movie, but I still don't think it's 95%. I mean,
do you know what? If we watch the second iteration of the Freddy and I see Ghostface in it, you know, I may have to correct myself. But we'll just wait until we get there.
Yeah. Okay. So then the next component to the battle is how we feel about the killer overall. If you were to give him a score out of 10, what would you give Freddy for a killer?
So Freddy, he's really hard to score. I didn't think about this ahead of time. I'm going to need a minute. But while I'm thinking about that, so out of all the critic scores and stuff, is there an average? We're doing an average of that.
Yeah, so we're going to... So the critic score gave it an 84.33%. We gave it a 50%, 2 out of 4.
Okay.
And then when we go through our overall for Freddy, we'll include that and then we'll have our final.
Okay.
We'll have our final score.
So I got you. Talking about Freddy as a killer on a 1 to 10 scale.
Overall, what you think about Freddy, you can include how scary he is, how funny he is, overall, just likability. Some killers you like, some killers you don't. Do you think it's plausible? You know?
I mean, plausible.
Do you believe like, could it actually happen? Like, do you believe that he is a killer?
Freddy is a killer.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he liquefies people. So,
yeah.
I do like the fact it's not like, I would almost rank him higher than Michael. I don't know where Michael falls on the scale yet in my head.
Well, and also be
careful. Because Michael stabs with a knife.
Take into consideration that there's more than one Freddy. So, like, this is just specifically for this film. Freddy in this film. Because we're going to watch part 2 in a couple weeks.
That's a different character.
And, I mean, you know, he's a little different in all of the Elm Streets. So,
well, this Freddy kills... Seems like every kill is unique.
Yeah.
It's a little different than everyone. He's got a hanging.
He does have a bed fetish.
Classical slash. Chelsea, it kind of just comes with the turf. The
territory. Oh, yeah.
They're sleeping.
Being asleep. Okay,
so there's always a bed. Pulls one in the mattress. He was kind of on top of her mom and then just ghosted her somehow.
Yeah. Literally.
Hung rod. Cut open Tina. Yeah. I mean, it's a couple different ways things happened. But you know what he didn't do? Kill anybody while they were awake. So I'm just going to give him a 5. Right in the middle.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. I was going to give him a 5 too, and I thought that you were going to come at me thinking that that was a low score. So
no.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Low would be a 0.
Yeah. I think that he's funny. I think that he does have a variety of kills. I also like some of the things that he does. Like, you know, he's not just in it to kill someone. He wants to really scare them and fuck with them. So like,
he likes to play with his
food. So like the Stretch Armstrong and then the tongue through the phone and like the things. So I think he's entertaining. So I'm going to give him a 5.
Okay. Seems like we're on the same page today. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of creepy.
It is. It's a bit creepy. So overall, we give this one a 61.44%.
Wow, it's very specific. It feels like a 65, but I'm going to go 61.44.
Because you never know. It could come down to the wire.
Okay. Okay, so now what do we do?
Well, now we just have to stay tuned for next week. We're going to watch Scream, the first one.
Who directed Scream?
Wes Craven.
Oh, yeah. See, I already knew that answer. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
You picked a good one.
I know.
I can't wait for next week.
I know.
All right.
Because it's also kind of a comedy. Like, it has, but it's not.
You know what I'm going to do?
It's not a horror comedy. It's just like a horror film with a comedic undertone, which I really like. I don't like.
Oh, I think it's comedic overtone. Jamie Kennedy's in it, Chelsea. Come on.
I don't like it when it's like Shaun of the Dead or like Leprechaun. Like, I want it to be a horror film, but then has some comedy thrown in, you know? Comedy, horror first, comedy second.
This is a 90s movie, yes?
It is, yep.
Yeah, so thank goodness there's no freaking soundtrack.
That's true.
I'd rather listen to Jamie Kennedy and his jokes.
Yeah.
Over a soundtrack in the 90s anytime.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to sleep, because the more I sleep, the sooner next week will come so we can watch Scream.
Well, we do still have our Is It Better or Worse Than? And I think I'm going to be able to guess what yours is.
It's not Worse Than.
Than VHS 94?
Or Exorcist 3. It's not Worse Than.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say that it is not better than House on Haunted Hill. House on Haunted Hill is still my favorite. So, but yeah. We are going to be doing the next battle installment.
Interject, leave a comment if you agree with this score, the 61.44, if you would rate it higher or lower.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where we fall in the masses.
Yeah. It'd be fun to see some comments on the scoring.
Yeah.
So next week we're watching Scream. So tune in.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Eras of Horror. If you like listening to us, check out our other podcasts, The Lost Eras and Down to Pod. And don't forget to rate and review.
1, 2, Freddy's coming for you next Tuesday.